जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरम चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम, वी आर स्टार्टिंग अ न्यू चैप्टर, चैप्टर 13, एंड द टाइटल ऑफ द चैप्टर इज द बिहेवियर ऑफ अ परफेक्ट पर्सन। सो वी डोंट हैव टू वरी अबाउट इट बिकॉज वी आर नॉट परफेक्ट, सो वी कैन जस्ट chill and continue doing what we like. No, the idea is when we follow the behavior of a perfect person, then we become perfect. Okay, so I'll read the summary of the chapter. I'm assuming most of us have an electronic way of reading the verse, except Mataji here. Well, we'll see how it goes. I'm going to cover the first four verses, five. Oh, okay. I was thinking, where is Subal Prabhu? Okay, he's hiding behind the board. So we'll give him some time to write. I'll read the I'll read the summary. This 13th chapter describes the regulative principles for sannyasis and also describes the history of an avadhuta. Oh, this is for sannyasis. It concludes with a description of perfection for the student in spiritual advancement. That's us. Sri Narada Muni has been describing the symptoms of various ashramas and varnas. Now in this chapter, he specifically describes the regulative principles to be followed by sannyasis. After retiring from family life, one should accept the status of vanaprastha, in which he must formally accept the body as his means of existence, but gradually forget the bodily necessities of life. After vanaprastha life, having left home, one should travel to different places as a sannyasi. Without bodily comforts and free from dependence on anyone with respect to bodily necessities, one should travel everywhere wearing almost nothing, or actually walking naked. Without association with ordinary human society, one should beg alms and always be satisfied in himself. One should be a friend to every living entity and be very peaceful in Krishna consciousness. A sannyasi should travel alone in this way, not caring for life or death, waiting for the time when he will leave his material body. You should not indulge in unnecessary books or adopt profession like astrology, nor should he try to become a great orator. He should also give up the path of unnecessary argument and should not depend on anyone under any circumstances. He should not try to allure people into becoming his disciples just so that the number of his disciples may increase. He should give up the habit of reading many books as a means of livelihood, and he should not attempt to increase the number of temples and mathas or monasteries. When a sannyasi thus becomes completely independent, peaceful, and equipoised, he can select the destination he desires after death and follow the principles by which to reach that destination. Although fully learned, he should always remain silent, like a dumb person, and travel like a restless child. In this regard, Narada Muni described a meeting between Prahlad and a saintly person who had adopted the mode of life of a python. In this way, he described the symptoms of a Paramahamsa. A person who has attained the Paramahamsa stage knows very well the distinction between matter and spirit. He is not at all interested in gratifying the material senses, for he is always deriving pleasure from devotional service to the Lord. He is not very anxious to protect his material body. Being satisfied with whatever he attains by the grace of the Lord, he is completely independent of the material happiness and distress, and thus he is transcendental to all regulative principles. Sometimes he accepts severe austerities, and sometimes he accepts material opulence. His only concern is to satisfy Krishna, and for that purpose he can do anything and everything without reference to the regulative principles. He is never to be equated with materialistic men, nor is he subject to the judgments of such men. Text number 1. Shri Narada Uvacha. Kalpastva evam, kalpastvam evam parivrajya. Deha matravasheshitaha. Gramaikaratra vidhina. Nirapekshascharen mahim. Shri Narada Uvacha. Kalpastva evam parivrajya. Deha matravasheshitaha. Gramaikaratra vidhina. Nirapekshascharen mahim. Please chant. Ladies, please. Excuse me. Thank you. Srinarada uvacha. Srinarada Muni said, Kalpaha, a person who is competent to undergo the austerities of sannyas, the renounced order of life, or to prosecute studies in transcendental knowledge. Tu, but, evam, in this way, as described previously, parivrajya, fully understanding a spiritual identity, and thus traveling from one place to another. Dehamatra, keeping only the body. Avasheshitaha, at last. Grama, in a village, thank you. Eka, one only. Ratra, of passing a night. Vidhina, in the process. Nirapekshaha, without dependence on any material thing. Charit, one should move from one place to another. Mahim, on the earth. There's no purport, so we'll read up to 5. Sri Narada Muni said, a person able to cultivate spiritual knowledge should renounce all material connections and merely keeping the body inhabitable. He should travel from one place to another, passing only one night in each village. In this way, without dependence in regard to the needs of the body, the sannyasi should travel all over the world. A person in the renounced order of life may try to avoid even a dress to cover himself. If he wears anything at all, it should be only a loincloth, and when there is no necessity, a sannyasi should not even accept a danda. A sannyasi should avoid carrying anything but a danda and kamandalu. Text 3. The sannyasi, completely satisfied in the self, should live on the alms begged from door to door. Not being dependent on any person or any place, he should always be a friendly well-wisher to all living beings and be a peaceful, unalloyed devotee of Narayana. In this way, he should move from one place to another. Text 4. The sannyasi should always try to see the Supreme pervading everything and see everything, including this universe, resting on the Supreme. Text 5. During unconsciousness and consciousness, and between the two, he should try to understand the self and be fully situated in the self. In this way, he should realize that the conditional and liberated stages of life are only illusory and not actually factual. With such a higher understanding, he should see only the absolute truth pervading everything. Purport. The unconscious state is nothing but ignorance, darkness, or material existence. And in the conscious state, one is awake. The marginal state between consciousness and unconsciousness has no permanent existence. Therefore, one who is advanced in understanding the self should understand that unconsciousness and consciousness are but illusions, for they fundamentally do not exist. Only the Supreme Absolute Truth exists, as confirmed by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani nachaham tveshvavastitaha. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Everything exists on the basis of Krishna's impersonal feature. Nothing can exist without Krishna. Therefore, the advanced devotee of Krishna can see the Lord everywhere without illusion. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In verse number 5, Narada Muni is speaking about the consciousness of a sannyasi and speaks about the view of the world. And in the verses prior, those are address and habits that express that consciousness. Actually, if we notice carefully, our dress and our behavior, they express our consciousness. What's inside is expressed outside by what we eat or how we eat, what we wear, how we wear them, our surroundings in which we are living, etc. It's all an expression of what's within. In Central Park once, when Srila Prabhupada was taking a walk with his disciples, they turned around the corner and came to a particular place in Central Park. Can you hear me? Because I'm not sure. Okay. They came to a place where there was a big exhibit of mangled metal, you know, twisted and mangled into one form and shape. So Prabhupada pointed with his cane, "What is this?" So someone said, "Art, Srila Prabhupada." And Prabhupada's response was, "That art," I'm paraphrasing, "is a reflection of the artist's mind." So whatever our expressions are, the language we use, etc., is all an expression of what's inside. You know, you hear people on the street, the way they speak, the curse words they use, and you wonder, wow, what's inside, right? You're walking on the street and something happens and people become angry very quickly and they spew out words of, you know, not so palatable words, and you wonder, my gosh, what is hiding inside so much? So the inner consciousness then is expressed outside by our words, our thoughts, our actions, food that we eat, clothes that we wear, the work that we do, etc., etc., etc. What I'm speaking is there in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, chapter 16, 17, and part of 18. So here, Narada Muni is speaking about the consciousness of a sannyasi. So before we can understand the depth of that consciousness, just let's look at the kind of lifestyle a sannyasi should live. In the summary, I particularly noted something which I thought was, I shouldn't say cute, but it was really very endearing. He says that the sannyasi should travel like a restless child. I know that my thoughts naturally went to my spiritual master. who definitely travels like a restless child. He cannot be in one place more than a few days, and is always traveling, very much like a restless child. And I'm sure other sannyasis as well. I don't know if anyone has traveled with him. I had the great honor of traveling with him on two occasions, and definitely could not keep up with him. He has this whole airport routine planned out. So by the time both of us reach the, where they look at your ID before you get in, the TSA guys. So he had his own thing. You know, I travel, but not so much as he travels. So I'm sure for him, it was clear. We came up to him, he looked at me, smiled like a little child and said, "See you at the gate." I didn't understand what that meant, because he had already figured out a faster path. And so by the time I showed my ID, he was down at the security, check. I was like, how did he do that? And then because he travels so much, he also knows how to be ready for the security. You know, most of us, once we get there, that's when we take off our shoes, we take off our jacket, we remove our computer, we have like four bins and we're figuring it out. He had already worked it out that zoom, 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 and he walks through the security. And by the time I finished the security line, and he was not there. He was already at the gate with his computer open and, working. It's like, man, that's fast. So when I read Travels Like a Restless Child, I couldn't help but think of him. And here he says all these verses of how to live. He says, first of all, the word kalpa in this verse caught my attention, because we use the word kalpa in many, many references. One, kalpa means a thought. Another meaning for the word kalpa is a day of Lord Brahma. So this particular day of Brahma is called the Shweta Varaha Kalpa. Another word for kalpa is here a person who is competent to undergo the austerities of sannyas, or to prosecute studies in transcendental knowledge. For such a person, how do they regard their body? Now, the word sannyasa literally means to give up everything. Samyak rupena nyasata iti. Nyasa means to give, to discard. So sannyasa means to discard everything. So the word here used is deha matra avasheshitaha. Avasheshita means at last. And deha matra is that keeping only the body. This means something. Keeping only the body literally means getting rid of all other possessions. So in the previous phases of life, a grahastha has many possessions in life, a house, a family, and all the things that come with the in the house, then the cars or the vehicles. The animals like cows or dogs, cats and hens, the little partridges and the pigeons, they all are mine. There's a sense of mine, right? The possessions of the shoes, the clothes, the gadgets, etc., etc. There's so many things collected that by the time one comes to sannyas, it is dehamatra vaisheshita, that the very thing, that the only thing that the sannyasi possesses is his body. That's the point. And one might say, why can't you give up the body also? The point is, the body is seen as a vehicle for self-realization. Otherwise, one might say that, oh, sannyas means you have to commit suicide. Oh, now I'm a sannyasi, I should give up this body. The idea is the body is only seen as a vehicle for self-realization, nothing else. And therefore, Gramaika Ratra Vidina. We'll come to that. is described that he should wear nothing. That's the next one. So Grameka Ratra Vidhina is a grihastha likes to make things comfortable. Subal Prabhu and I were just talking before we entered that each one of us in our life, we try to remove unpredictability in our lives. Right? Because the more predictable life is, the safer we feel. If it's unpredictable at every moment, then it causes anxiety. That's why we all, knowingly or unknowingly, try to remove any sort of unpredictability from life. But the lesson is, life is always unpredictable. You and I were talking. He had some plans, and his plans got completely destroyed. I had some plans yesterday. All my plans got completely destroyed. Completely destroyed. Just the opposite of what I had thought would happen. So then, a grihastha with a safe house, family, the things in the house, removes that unpredictability. Part of that is living with comforts. Because unpredictability is uncomfortable. But here it says, sannyasi, grameka ratra vidhina. The sannyasi should accept unpredictability as the way of life. In fact, if unpredictability is not there, he will make it unpredictable. How? Only one night in any place. Because once you live in a place, people feed you nicely. The very next thing you want is, hey, I can settle down here. This is nice. The sannyasi will not be like that. It will keep life unpredictable. And I'm going to come back to why. And he says, Nirapeksha Charen Mahim. Nirapeksha. Apeksha means to aspire for, to desire, to anticipate. So Nirapeksha means without any such anticipation. Particularly Prabhupada says, without dependence on any material thing. So when we want to make our life predictable, we are also very clear. Okay, I have a job, so much money will come. I have, you know, so many assets. At some point in time, I can sell them and there will be so much wealth. I'm depending on all of this. The sannyasi is nirapeksha. Anything can happen anytime. I'm not so attached to any of these things. Nor am I attached to this night, I'm in this village. All these people have taken care of me so nicely. You know, they've offered me something to eat. Tomorrow also, maybe. Tomorrow is a whole different day. Take it as Krishna presents it. So that is nirapeksha. So our Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they were extremely, extremely wealthy, but they wore nothing but rejected cloth, not even from Salvation Army. They wore things that Salvation Army had rejected. And every night they slept under a different tree, just so that they don't feel, this tree is very comfortable tonight, I should sleep here every night. It was not okay. You know the story of Prabhupada. I like this because I say it again and again. Prabhupada's on a morning walk. They come up to a tree. And under a particular branch, there were a lot of bird droppings. So Prabhupada pointed with his cane. What is this? So apparently the devotees were thinking that they have to say something profound about bird droppings. They were scratching their chins like, oh, what am I going to say? And Prabhupada said, this is bird droppings. Prabhupada said, yes, but what does it mean? What does bird dropping mean? The Prabhupada described that there is so much bird droppings under a branch of a tree because it's the same bird sitting there every day on that branch. And the bird is thinking, this is my branch. And Prabhupada said, then what to speak of human beings? Give them something, and suddenly it becomes mine. This is my, whatever we want to fill in the blanks. This is mine. The tendency to make things mine is very strong. So sannyasi is nirapeksha. So these lines go together. Dehamatra, grameka ratra vidhina, and nirapeksha is all to relieve himself from any possibility of calling anything mine. And to facilitate that, charen mahim, one should travel, Prabhupada writes, all over the world. Means he should travel around the earth, not settle down in one place, make things comfortable for himself and say, ah, the good life. This is really nice. I'm a sannyasi. I walk everywhere. People offer obeisances. They bring me food. You know, then they want to serve me nicely. This is better than married life. This is not the life of a sannyasi. So then next, and I'm going to bring this, and you can think of contrast between what's here and what, let's say, the modern sannyasis that we know of, how they live. The renounced order person may avoid even a dress to cover himself. If he wears anything at all, it should only be a loincloth. And when there is no necessity, a sannyasi should not even accept a danda. A sannyasi should avoid carrying anything but a danda, kamandalu, and a laptop. No possessions, absolutely. But we see almost all of our sannyasis in the modern circuit, they cannot be without a laptop computer. So then the question would be, and they wear nice clothes. They have disciples and followers who will iron the clothes nicely. So then one might wonder, especially as young devotees, oh, I just read chapter 13 and look at this sannyasi. Nice crisp clothes, nice laptop, even a smartphone. What's going on? In fact, they're living a better life than I am. Maybe I should become a sannyasi very soon. So the question then is, how does a sannyasi see these possessions, these things? So Prabhupada always said, first dress, then a dress. Have you ever seen Prabhupada in dirty clothes? Prabhupada's always, all the photos that we see of Prabhupada, even if he is, you know, with his dhoti rolled up to his thighs and sitting relaxed. Have you ever seen pictures of Prabhupada in Mayapur? With his dhoti all the way up to his thighs, his feet on his desk, arms behind his head, relaxing. You see the picture? Those very sweet pictures of Prabhupada. But Prabhupada's always, always well-dressed. In fact, when Prabhupada was in France or Italy, they had invited a special tailor. In context, they wear nice clothes. Nice clothes, what is it? It's only a dhoti and a kurta, perhaps, and a uttariya. And I'll tell you some things beyond that. So externally, it looks nice, nicely ironed. It's because they're traveling. And people in this world, in the modern world, they're all about superficiality. Because they don't have access to the inner truths of people. So if everything looks nice outside, they assume things are okay. I come from a background in marketing. And more than the product, we're worried about packaging. How nicely is it packed? You can pack cow dung nicely. Actually, cow dung is nice. You can pack bull dung or dog dung nicely, and it'll sell pretty good if you can pack it nicely. So the reason our sannyasis need to dress nicely and try, in fact, every one of us should dress nicely, is because people will judge the rest of the movement from the way we present ourselves. So there's a story Prabhupada, Badrinarayan Maharaj quotes, that the devotees had sent a picture to Prabhupada with a letter about their Sankirtan activities. And all the devotees were joyfully dancing on the streets. But they were dressed really haggardly, very badly. You know, everything was crumpled and tattered because they were renounced. They didn't care. Colors mismatching, socks mismatching, whatever. His whole thing was like a gypsy band. So Prabhupada wrote back a very nice letter saying, "Thank you. I really appreciate what you're doing. Harinam Sankirtan is such a powerful medium. You are doing this for Lord Chaitanya, etc., etc. And P.S. I know you're very renounced, but for my sake, please dress nicely." Prabhupada was very particular. Because the world sees us that way. One might say, "We don't care about the world." Yeah, we don't. But if people look at us wrongly, nobody would want to be a Hare Krishna. So it's not what we are wearing. But what's more important is what's the consciousness with which we're wearing. Most time the consciousness of our wearing is, I want to make myself look good, or this is fashionable, or however we want to say it. So that is the distinction, between a materialistic consciousness and a spiritual consciousness. So whether we carry laptop, not we, sannyasis carry laptops or have smartphone or something. That's not the reason to judge them. If you notice that they're all used for Krishna's service. Bhaktisiddhanta rode in a convertible, big fancy car, wore an overcoat. These were all very modern, but Bhaktisiddhanta did it. And interestingly, he took the convertible into Vrindavan. It's not like he was in Calcutta. He took the convertible into Vrindavan to show Yukta Vairagya, that this is not things that we are attached to. We can use them in Krishna's service. Next, he says he should live on alms, begging from door to door. Now, when a sannyasi begs from door to door, he's different from a beggar who comes from one door to another. A beggar comes to a door begging because without the food and without the money, they cannot live. But a sannyasi comes begging for a different purpose. One is they're not a beggar. In fact, they come to give. The idea of coming to the householder's house to beg is an excuse to give the householder transcendental knowledge. Because between the sannyasi and the grihastha, the grihastha is more in ignorance. So this is a pretext to come to this grihastha's house as a sannyasi and say, "Oh, I need some food." And the grihastha will say, "Please come in. How is your traveling? How's your preaching?" And the sannyasi gets a chance to preach to the grihastha and help them become spiritually more situated. So one should not think a sannyasi is a beggar, okay? But the important thing he says is, Atmaromo. Atmarama means if they get something to eat, great. If they don't get something to eat, great. In the story of Srila Madhavendra Puri, he had a vow that he will not go to anyone asking for food. If Krishna sent someone with some food to eat, he will eat. If Krishna didn't send, then he would fast. So that's how he used to live. And there are many pastimes of sweet rice coming to him. In fact, of his austerities, Krishna stole some sweet rice for him. Do you know that story? It's called Kshirachora Gopinath. Krishna Gopinath, who is the thief. Who stole sweet rice? That's what it means. Kshira Chora. Chora means thief. So when Madhavendra Puri was in the place called Remuna, the speciality of that place is that they offer the best rabdi and sweet rice to the deities. So Madhavendra Puri was visiting the temple, and when he heard that every day they offered 12 nice pots of sweet rice, in his mind came a thought. I wish I could taste that sweet rice so I can go back to Vrindavan and offer to Gopal. And then he chided himself, "Oh, that is such a bad thought. How can I think that I should taste the sweet rice offered to the deity? No, 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 this is not a good thought." And he left the temple. And that night he was sleeping under a tree. And the pujari who offers the sweet rice at that night had a dream. And the dream in which Krishna appeared and he said, "You know, you offered all these pots of sweet rice, but I tricked you. I hid one of the pots behind my dhoti. And I've kept it for Madhavendra Puri. I would like you to come now, take it and give it to him." So the pujari woke up from his dream. Wow, what a wonderful dream to get. Took a shower, ran into, opened the altar, walked in, and saw behind Krishna's dhoti was one of the pots of sweet rice. And so then he took the pot of sweet rice, ran into the marketplace, calling out, "Is there Madhavendra Puri? Who's Madhavendra Puri? The deity Gopinath has stolen some sweet rice just for you. You must be such an amazing personality." And he found Madhavendra Puri and gave him that pot of sweet rice. So Madhavendra Puri ate the sweet rice very relishingly, broke the pot into small pieces, and every day used to eat a piece of the earth with which the pot was made, the clay, because that was also superly transcendental to him. But he realized that night, "Oh, tomorrow morning, everyone's going to say, Madhavendra Puri is so great. They will all come and glorify me. This is not good for me to stay." And he walked away from the village that night itself. He didn't want any honor. But he felt greatly humbled that the deity wanted him to taste the sweet rice. Just so this is Nirapeksha and Atmarama. Sarva Bhuta Shruhat Shanta. He's a friendly well-wisher to all living beings. Peaceful. But most importantly, this is where the consciousness starts to begin to show Narayana Parayana. That he is a fully dedicated servant of Lord Narayana. And it is that consciousness that allows him to live without expecting from people in the world. He knows that Krishna is taking care of everyone and that Krishna will take care of him as well, in whatever way Krishna decides to take care of him. So he is fearless. He doesn't feel like he's lonely and he doesn't feel that he's not cared for. In fact, the opposite is true. He's fearless, he always has the company of the Lord, and he always feels cared for by the Lord. And so this fifth verse, which talks a little philosophically, he says, Supti prabodhaya sadhava atmagatim atmadruk. Atmadruk, druk means to vision. Atmadruk is one who always sees himself as the spirit soul. So in the unconscious state, the conscious state, and in between. So the unconscious state is literally when we are sleeping in Bhagavatam class or when we are sleeping at night. And the awake state is when we are sitting in Bhagavatam class with the eyes closed and anything in between. No. So unconscious state means sleeping. And conscious state is awake. And anything in between is all the activities. Or unconscious state means in an unrealized state, and conscious state means in a realized state, fully self-realized, and anything in between. That is the sadhaka stage. He is very clear, pashyat bandham cha moksham cha maya matram, that his view of the world is, I am a spirit soul servant of Krishna. And that's what drives his life. We tend to get caught into, I'm a servant of Krishna, and then I'm also something else. So this is what a sannyasi is developed of. And so he says that he understands everything here is taken care of by the impersonal feature of the Lord, Brahman. Everything is spiritual in nature. That's the idea. The sannyasi sees the inherent spiritual nature in everyone and everything. Without that vision, One cannot do all these things. In fact, we also cannot do. When we have a material vision, everything reacts with us or interacts with us in a material sort of way. When we have a spiritual vision, everything interacts with us in a spiritual sort of way. So if I have a material vision, this man, that woman, mine, theirs, it reacts accordingly. But if I have a spiritual vision, it interacts with me accordingly. I see them as a devotee of Krishna, everything responds back as a devotee of Krishna. I see something as Krishna's, it interacts with me as if it is Krishna's. I see something as mine, it interacts with me as mine. It's what consciousness I put out, that's the consciousness I get back. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam stathaiva bhajavyah. So if I see things from a spiritual vision, then everything appears spiritual. If I approach everything from a material vision, everything responds materially. If I see the deity as statues made of marble, that is all I will get. Statues made of marble. But from a spiritual vision, this is Krishna and Radharani Kishore Kishore is standing there. Gaurditaya, Jagannath, Baldev, Sumad, then they will respond accordingly. There's a devotee, I'll end with this. There was a devotee who offered a nice prayer in front of the deities. He said, "My dear Krishna, please forgive me and see how unfortunate I am that I see you as stone and me as living and conscious when actually the opposite is true. But I am the stone. And you're the one who's really living and conscious. But my unfortunate position is such that I only see you as stone." So it's what we put out is what we get. Okay, I'll stop here. I can't exert more than this. Any comments, questions? Any from the jewel of ISKCON Chicago?
I was just thinking about Srila Prabhupada and renunciation. Something I heard not too long ago, but devotees were in the airport with Srila Prabhupada, and I guess they were having some difficulties, and you know, coming and going, you know, with security and all that stuff. And then one of the devotees said, "Prabhupada, we have enough money now where we could buy a Learjet." And, or, you know, something like that. And Prabhupada says, "No, they're already critical, and if we get something like that, they will even be more critical. So this just better travel in the, you know, more humble way."
You want to hear a story of the evangelical priests or persons who own their own planes? Yeah. In America, there are these churches, and the pastors of their churches own their own planes. And so I saw this TV interview. Two of those pastors are sitting and they're discussing. It's televised. And one is telling the other, "The Lord spoke to me. And he said, get your own plane so you can travel peacefully and think about me. And I said, oh Lord, thank you for telling me. I appreciate it." So then he goes to his congregation. He says, "The Lord spoke to me that I should have a plane for myself." And the congregation donated enough money that he bought his own plane. He still travels in his own plane. Some 10, 12 million dollars. And they take care of all the expenses for him. And it's not one. All these guys have their planes. So I decided I will also make such an announcement after for Janmashtami. Then I want to have a plane. Anyway, that's a joke.
I was just trying to understand. You mentioned it, and maybe, you know, just clarify a little bit. Prabhupada in the purport, he writes, during the unconsciousness and unconsciousness, and between the two, he should try to understand that the self and that the self, if you just try to understand the self and be fully situated in the self. In this way, he should realize that the conditional and liberated stages of life are only illusory and not actually factual. So, to understand that part, the illusory nature of the liberated state, you know, if you can comment on that.
My understanding, thank you for bringing that up. My understanding of the illusory nature of the liberated state is particularly about the Sayujya Mukti. Because this is Narada Muni speaking here. Previous cantos, Narada Muni, he chastises the persons who think that they are liberated. And he says that their intelligence is still contaminated. Avishuddha buddhaya. And he says, they think that, I am liberated. Aruhya kruchena param padam patanti. And he says that because they don't have service to the lotus feet of Krishna, they fall from that position. So that sense of being liberated from the material condition is also illusory unless there is active service to Krishna. So the sannyasis that he is particularly talking about here, the consciousness is, I am Narayana Parayana, therefore there is service to Lord Narayana. Without service, then what's the point? So in the unconscious state, is that where is the contaminated state or conditioned state, that's also illusory because one is not the body. In the so-called liberated state, that is also not, that's also illusory because it's only neutral. But what is necessary is active service to Krishna as or in the consciousness of, I'm a servant of Krishna. Jivera swarupaya Krishnera Nityadas. Thank you.
Yesterday, during the class, it's very good, thank you so much. During the class, yesterday we were reading about Vanaprastha, and part of the focus of the Vanaprastha is to go to that stage of Brahmabhuta, and to realize I'm a spirit soul. But, you know, up to there, then sannyas is when you start to act in the Brahmabhuta state, which is, you know, mad bhaktin labhate param, that devotional service starts. Right. So that's, unless you do that, that Brahmabhuta stage is a temporary thing, as you say, as is mentioned. One will fall down if you don't serve the lotus feet of the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, thank you.
Mitch, and then you.
Sorry, don't listen to waste time. Hare Krishna, you made a lot of nice points. Obviously, I'm not going to get to all of them, but basically, the essence of your class, at least maybe you could sum it up, a good point Prabhupada said, dress for success. You've heard that phrase before, right? And we can hear that the essence of dress for success is dressing one's consciousness for success. Yasyasi Bhatya Bhagavatiya Kinshana. And one nice point you made in that regard is that that's very natural. If somebody's coming in, like a homeless person, like a bum, you know, nobody's going to be around them. That's natural. But my one discrepancy that happens, because we're all under most material nature, in 1840 Gita, we all fluctuate. Like in chapter 14, you mentioned, it says the good mode of goodness is prominent sometimes, the mode of passion is prominent. That means this week I'm a pure devotee, next week I'm not. But we can see that if you dress nicely sometimes, everyone has this envy sometimes that we all have to overcome these qualities. So we can see that even in a material world, you dress nicely or you speak nicely, everything is external. Then that tendency of envy comes out. So that doesn't mean necessarily you dress or speak nicely or you're going to have good feelings from people. So my question is basically is that how detrimental is it to one's consciousness, one's actually mentality, to always try to hide one's mistakes, because I don't want people to judge me, you know. I have to do everything perfectly. And we can see that people suffer all the time like that. Let me do everything perfectly. If I make a mistake, let me cover it up, you know, so nobody will know it. And that's not in accordance with being free from false prestige, as Lord Chaitanya said. So how detrimental is that to one's consciousness? What can we do to, what some steps we could do to rectify that?
I think I said near the end of the, I guess the talk was, it's what consciousness we put out, that's the consciousness we get back. So it's if one is putting out or exhibiting the consciousness of a devotee, then regardless of how the surroundings respond, it doesn't matter. But if we put out our consciousness in a materialistic way, then that's what we'll get. And part of matter is that it's disturbing. Spirit is calming, matter is disturbing because it's always unreliable. So that's what we'll get. So it's not what's outside that's the real issue. It's what's inside is the real issue. The outside can be anything. Prabhupada was in the same Boston, New York that we are all part of. But it responds to us in a particular way and it responded to Prabhupada in a different way. Because it was what was inside Prabhupada. But we take our sannyasis and spiritual masters. The world is the same world that they're traveling in, but they're unaffected, and we might be affected. It's because our consciousness is at a lower level than their consciousness. Those who have served Prabhupada for such a long time, the way they see the world and the way we see the world is very different. So it's a matter of progression. So I hope that answers the question, Mitch. Mitch, he had his hand raised, right? Oh, you changed your mind. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.